John, oh yes, Samuel was the middle name, and his first name was Peter, but we always called him Sam and I forgot Peter. So that is the way that it is with us over here. We sometimes forget even our own names, as it is sometimes the case that we do not carry the same name in spirit we did on earth, and in that case, if asked what our name is, we can't tell till we look through some mortal's eyes to the old family record. 244. An ancient stood forth some time ago acting as of the higher spheres, and this evening, Bessie said it was Pythagoras, of the ancient Greek Pythagorean schools. Seance number 15 August 14, 1902 245. This was a good average seance for intellectual matter and phenomenal display. There were 14 sitters in the circle, from widely separated homes, whose names and P.O. addresses will be found at close of the record of this seance in etchings from their own handwriting, to certificate of authentication of secretary's record of occurrences at this time. On account of the nature of this evidence of authentication, we include some details much the same as heretofore recorded. 10 of these sitters were first attracted here by virtue of having read the publication entitled Rending the Veil, the others, in addition to having read both R. V. and B. V., attended many of the seances for those books. 246. After reading the secretary's record of the preceding seance and it being passed upon and finally approved by those present who attended that seance, the circle repaired to the seance room, and being seated as is the custom, CR. V. Par. 1170, and the medium in the cabinet, entranced, the spirit, Dr. Reed, parted the cabinet curtains in the center, and standing in the opening in sight of all the circle, said, I hope, friends, that you will give to us of your best thoughts this evening. In order to give to you and to your world what we desire to give, and this way by means of these seances, the seances require the best of conditions, and these conditions consist of harmonious blending of all the magnetisms of all the members of the circle, and that no mental or spiritual discordant thoughts be given off in inharmonious or discordant waves. If any of you have unpleasant or unkindly feelings and thoughts, one toward another, or toward any other, leave all such thoughts and feelings outside the seance room, and sit here with none but pure, kind thoughts and feelings. It requires all this to enable us to do what we so long have labored for, to give a much needed work to the world. Do your part faithfully, and we at all times will give to you the very best that the conditions which you furnish will allow. 247. Then a stranger came out of cabinet at S. E. corner and in peculiarly strange voice said, good evening, friends. I see you have quite a number here tonight. 248. Sam greeted the circle all round, then said to Bessie, I have an important errand to make and shall leave you in charge of this work until I return. Bessie, all right, Sam. 249. The next phenomenon to appear was a person standing at the typewriter manipulating about it, then taking a sheet of paper, placed it in the machine and began writing, and this personage was soon recognized to be the spirit whom we call the spirit typewriter. This spirit had a little oral conversation with one who was in the cabinet, and this conversation between the spirit at typewriter and the voice in the cabinet was perhaps for two reasons. One, that the circle might realize that while there was one spirit outside the cabinet standing at the typewriter, there was another personage, inside the cabinet, who was able to produce human speech, and who in all probability was to dictate a message for the typewriter. For let the reader understand, one certain spirit whose name we have not learned as yet, does all the typewriting, as dictated to him, by the communicating spirit, and for the reason given in the following message, to wit, the helpful one. 250. We have not been able to secure the necessary conditions for this spirit to come to this circle and give his experience in person, so I shall give it just as he has given it to me. 251. His work lies among the so-called criminals or outcasts of earth, and while he does not visit the earth himself, he has faithful followers who carry on this part of the work for him. He is called the helpful one. 252. He says, I became interested in social outcasts ages ago, Before the people upon your earth had prison houses, reform schools, or asylums of any kind, we have tried always to better their conditions, and have succeeded, partially, in making things brighter through the aid of other spirits. 253. The man who harms his brother man is just as much a victim as the one he harms. This tendency may come through inheritance, or be caused by environments. 254. As the different conditions become more densely populated, you will even find the species of unrest that characterize the people of today. The reason may be found in the immense influence that comparisons have on mankind. 255. A common attribute of men is envy. The quality is not an evil, except in its extremes. It is that which desires and insists upon equality. The helpful spirit of emulation springs from it. There is much in the complex civilization of today that brings it into play. 256. All things are comparative. The hard life of the pioneer, or frontiersman, was neither grinding nor sordid. It involved as great labor as the work in city streets. Its privations were greater and its rewards, in many cases, less remunerative. But life in a log cabin is not distressful when one's neighbor does not live in a brownstone mansion. It is not galling to the parent to clothe his children in cheap fabrics when they are not looked at askance by others in fashionable suits. We would not have you go back to primitive conditions, but we would have you pause and consider with what terrible cost your civilization is being purchased. 257. Friends, do you call it civilized to take the life of one of your fellow beings, just because he has transgressed the law of God and man and taken the life of another? Is this civilization, demanding an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth? It is time your ideas of justice should be vastly different from what they were 2 centuries ago, and no one rejoices more than we who are interested in this work. 258. We hope to see all countries adopt systems similar to the Beringer system in their prisons. If your fellow man falls and makes a mistake, don't put him away like some poisonous thing, but help him regain his footing. Don't ostracize and make him more bitter, for if you could read his life story as we can, you would see the why fors of many things that now seem to you diabolical. Put yourself in his place. 259. One spirit who works in the band that I now have charge of, was a criminal upon earth. He is a tireless worker and works unceasingly to impress officials to put into practice many reforms, and if you would make use of a civil service system instead of allowing politicians to appoint just whomsoever has the largest fee for them, we could succeed much more rapidly in this work, for then, when we found a sensitive we could impress him. In time he would be able to introduce more lenient measures. A. The spirit I just mentioned, came to the spirit world through being beheaded. As the world viewed his crime, it was a most cruel one. He murdered his employer in cold blood, after a few words of disagreement over his salary. 260. To us, the case seemed a very sad one, and the real particulars are these: he had a wife and several children. One child had been a cripple from infancy, and as is natural, her father gave her more of his store of love than he gave to the other children. At last he heard of a surgeon who had cured many such cases. He consulted him and found that he could cure the child, but it took more money than he was able to pay. He was a skilled workman and knew that he was underpaid for his labor. He decided to interview his employer and ask for a raise of salary. It was the same old story. The employer was insulting and the employee was hurt to think that he must let his child suffer because he could not collect his just due. That in a moment of righteous anger, he struck the blow that made him a murderer. He did not take time to reason over the condition it would place his soul in, or how much suffering his family must endure when deprived of his support. He regretted the act, and as soon as he could, began to atone for it. Can you wonder, after all the suffering that he had endured, that his aim, in spirit life, is to help others situated as he was? 261. Turn your prisons into hospitals for the treatment of unfortunates. Instead of bare, cold, stone walls, hang beautiful pictures. Have shelves of books and large, sunny windows, filled with flowers. Make it a place of refuge, where all who are inclined to do wrong may come to escape from themselves. Furnish agreeable employment, for none need be idle. Avoid large cities as you would the plague, for it is in the cities that such sharp contrasts are drawn. 262. How pitiful to see a father stand in front of a window filled with eatables and know that his little ones are dying of hunger separated from plenty by only a pane of glass. Is it not strange that more don't smash the windows and succor their dear ones? It is, indeed, sad to know that there are any hungry ones in a city where large warehouses are groaning under the weight of just what these physical bodies crave. 263. Aye, it is harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven than for a camel to pass through the needle's eye. The kingdom of heaven lies within, and the narrow gate of the city of Jerusalem is wider by far than the pass by which the soul must enter into eternal bliss. 264. Wesley Abba. B. V. Page 446, brother to the medium, next to appear before the circle, came forth in very excellent makeup and stood at the writing desk, took a tablet and began to write very rapidly to one page, tore that from the tablet, handed it to the secretary, then standing near to the secretary, tablet open in left hand and pencil in right hand, proceeded to write seven pages more, and Mrs. Rupright distributed them among the circle, and Wesley dematerialized downwardly, and the members who had the sheets of writing passed them over to the secretary, and this writing was read to the whole circle at close of seance as follows, to wit, 265. Whenever we can impress an instrument to make the truths of nature's hidden forces known to the world, it will be done whether its recipient is conscious of its source or not. Some of your instruments today fear the world's scorn and obloquy, which hold them back from declaring openly that their thoughts were the inspiration from the spirit world and not the offspring of their own brain. The time, as we regard it, will be short, when proper credit will be given our instruments whom we have chosen to shed the light to dark souls of earth. 266. Another thing, my friends, we wish to impress upon you is the exercise of caution, both in language and in action, in the condemnation of our selected instruments without a careful examination into facts. Don't think that it is not known to us and causes us great regret that the worst foes our efforts have to meet are among the so-called spiritualists of today. The orthodox class who utterly refuse to listen to words of love and peace from our side of life are not a comparison to the so-called spiritualist. The only excuse we offer for them is that their bodies must be out of tune, preventing a harmonious vibration of thought. These people forget, or are ignorant of the fact, that a sensitive under our control is as helpless as a babe for his or her own defense. 267. Another thing we wish to call your attention to is dissension of opinion among your speakers. The old members who sit and listen to the voice of inspired instruments on the rostrum and listen to the teachings given, have in many instances declared against the exhibition of tests or phenomena given through our instruments. Friends, when you assert this, you then place spiritualism on the basis of the orthodox teachings of faith and superstition. True, one teaching is as good as another, unsupported by evidence of the fact. Your old friends are passing away and joining us on this side, and they should be the ones to recommend the exhibition of true phenomena in support of nature's ruling spirit. 268. How many of you declaimers against physical proof can rise and say that you are convinced of this truth with nothing being shown you beyond the fundamental principles? Out of 1,000 avowed and recognized believers in spiritualism, not 50 could truthfully say that they had not received a test of spirit return of some kind which convinced them that there is no death. There yet remains today a few of the instruments to whom this faculty is given, who have been before the public for many years, who have been tried and proven true, but they are not cherished and appreciated as they deserve to be by those who have in the past sought their aid. 269. As the world progresses onward, new and startling phenomena are developed. The spirit artists are using this chosen instrument in giving these tests to the world, which call forth not only this work in its perfection of detail, but your astonishment at the manner in which it is done. We have formally stated that the tests given to dwellers of Earth is the insurmountable bulwark which proves a defense against orthodox attacks, for we can show evidence that they cannot overthrow nor dispute. All of the denials and false statements against spiritualism wilt as a snowball before a fire. Therefore, friends, remember that one is dependent upon the other, and although you may be satisfied now, without further phenomena, do not decry it, for there are others coming after you whose desire is for proof the same as you experienced in your earlier investigations. You are passing away to the land of light and sunshine, and you need an instilling of newer blood to fill up the gaps in your rank. The coming generation will seek to investigate and find out as to a future life and will demand something more than eloquent words, uttered by your inspired speakers controlled as they are by spirits of high intelligence. They, however, must have something which will appeal to their inner consciousness in which their natural senses can see and feel. Wesley 270. During the writing of the foregoing, the spirit was moving about the room, in order that all of the circle might see him as distinctly as possible, and also see the writing movements of the right hand over the paper, see him turn the leaves as written upon, and when one leaf was being turned over, see that the following page had no writing on it, and be sure that there was no writing on that page until they saw the spirit put writing there, and thus for 7 pages of writing, the spirit turning 7 leaves and no more. And then the circle see the spirit tear the 7 leaves from the tablet and distribute the 7 pages of writing to the circle and hand the tablet to Ms. May Cook, and dematerialize downwardly, and thus gone away. And furthermore, while the spirit was writing, he was also frequently talking to various members of the circle in strong oral tones of voice, and this whole process of writing in common English longhand over 700 words, did not occupy so much as 2 minutes of time. A single quivering motion of the spirit's hand across the paper marked a line of 5 words, on the average. And yet some people want to know whether we had the medium bucked and gagged, and blindfolded, and sewed up in a sack, and his hands tied behind him, and flour in his hands, and tacks sprinkled over the floor. Where is the man or woman in the mortal form that can write, in longhand 100 words per minute? All of the phenomena given at these seances are attended by tests equivalent to those of this case. Louisa Moss, and Amelia 271. When Wesley had written and gone back to the invisible condition, there came from the cabinet a woman form, of common size, dressed in white, and exceedingly brilliant in makeup, and after standing a moment, this form advanced to a point near the secretary, so that the trumpet as a sound condenser would assist the secretary to gather her words, for the women forms talk only in whisper, though the circle generally hear enough to know that the secretary's report of what these women forms say is at least correct in general outline. And so on this occasion, this spirit whispering, said, substantially, "My name is Louisa Moss. 272. I have been in spirit life for a long time. I hardly know how many years of your time, for we do not reckon time as you do. We only reckon by events, and from comparing events, I conclude that of your time, I have been here a great number of years. We have no time, it is simply always with us, but we have events in our individual cases that mark periods of existence, or of unfoldment, to us. I am now of the higher spheres, but not yet so far removed above the earth sphere as not to feel for those struggling upwardly, as I did, and still do myself. It is experience that unfolds all beings, and as I travel back over my own road of experience, I meet persons all the way, on the same road I traveled, and see the different conditions they all must struggle through, and each condition passed, marks an event in their existence, and thus I have some idea of the duration necessary for one to reach to my attainments, and conclude it would require many of your years." 273. It has been a great portion of my business, in spirit life, to travel back my own line and assist whomsoever I might find thereon struggling for more light. And as I came down this time, I met at what once seemed to me the foot of a mountain whose summit seemed inaccessible, yet there was no other way, only over that mountain. But here I met many hosts of people, looking up that rugged mountain, as it seemed to them. And when they saw that I had been over that mountain, and was returning, they were overjoyed. For thought they, We shall now have an opportunity of the experience of one who knows the way. They asked me the way, time it would require, and of what lay beyond that mountain. And I tarried and told them all that they could comprehend until they would have more experience. I told them of my experience of more than 100 years, climbing that mountain. That mountain was the aggregate of experiences they must pass through, which to them were opaque and dark, but when they would have climbed through them all, the mountain would be melted away into extended fertile plains, bearing the results of their experiences in perennial summer morning. They could not comprehend beyond that mountain, and I could only foreshadow to a very limited extent, to them, what beyond is waiting for them. 274. And I met Amelia, and wondered why, though I had often sought, I had not met her before. And here we learned that our work was not in the same sphere, hence, we had not met. A. Then I met many who reached that sphere of Amelia, a sphere of amelioration for mortals in trying to bring about conditions so that mortals will have more spiritual experience on earth and not such mountains of it to climb when they pass from the mortal to the spirit condition of life. 275. Then came forth another woman spirit a little above the average in height, wearing a headdress having a brilliant star atop her forehead. This one exhibited much lace or pongee. C.B. V. Page 450. And after moving about in front of the circle exhibiting the lace for a time, retired back into the cabinet. Someone suggested this might be Queen Esther, but that was only suggestion, not formed into hypnotism. 276. Then another of similar appearance came out of the cabinet, perambulated about the room for a short time, then gave the name Julia and retired behind the curtains. 277. Then a woman form, rather above the average size, and quite tall, dressed in brilliantly white garments, girdled about the waist with belt of sparkling jewels, and jeweled headdress, and hair as if powdered with diamond dust, gave her name as Antoinette, and after promenading about, in front of the cabinet for a time, withdrew while the circle talked in wonderment about the brilliantly dressed woman. 278. Next there stood a woman, dressed in white, in the door of the cabinet, and at the same time, a woman form stood out in sight, at the southeast corner of the cabinet, and the one at the center went down, appearing to go through the floor, out of sight. Then instantly, there stood another lady spirit at the center of the cabinet front, and in a moment, she and the one at S. E. corner of the cabinet vanished from sight of the circle. 279. And quickly following the two that vanished, a lady form, that proved to be Anna Clemens, came out of the cabinet, at first appearing to have very little hair on the head, but when she got entirely out, some 2 feet clear of the cabinet, the hair gradually became longer and thicker and darker until she had what would be called a full head of hair for a lady. This lady held in her hands a small bundle of something having an appearance of a bunch of lace, which after standing a moment, she began manipulating, and as she did so, the apparent lace cloth, or pongee, increased in bulk, and quantity, from the size of a common handkerchief at first, to the size of a very large shawl, and then the operation was reversed until the pongee was again of the size of a handkerchief, and spirit and pongee vanished. 280. At a seance the following evening for the benefit of the visitors, a regular spirit clothier and spirit pongee manufacturer, came forth from the cabinet in condition of visibility, with a small sample of pongee in hand, and while Mrs. Abba and a lady visitor, Miss Rupright of Topeka, Kansas, were standing between the circle and cabinet holding each other's hands firmly, the pongee maker, in sight of the circle, collected material from viewless air, round about, folding the pongee goods, then unfolding it to be much larger than before folding, and this process was repeated until a sufficiency of the pongee cloth was made to entirely robe the spirit from head to foot, and then, after first robing herself with this pongee, as outer garment, the spirit took a portion of her outer robe and placed it on the head and about the neck and face of the visitor. Then the spirit took the pongee from the visitor's head, face and neck and manipulated again, as at first, until there was a sufficiency of the pongee to entirely robe the visitor. Then the spirit spread the pongee around the visitor and fitted it, until the lady from Topeka stood before the circle without a clothing just like that the spirit wore. Then in a few moments the spirit took the pongee robing off of Miss Rupright, dissolved it into invisibility, and the spirit, herself, vanished. C.B. V. Page 450, Thomas Paine 281. And now one comes forth, clad in the knee-buckle pantaloons, and slippers of colonial days, and ruffled shirt bosom of the then French pattern, and from his height, and from his physiognomy, the circle at once recognized and saluted the form as Thomas Paine. Then the form began to vocalize and the voice removed all doubt as to the identity, but the forces that had been set apart for the entertainment were so nearly exhausted that the spirit was only able to give a short sample of his ability to vocalize, as follow, 282. Good evening, friends. I am indeed glad to be permitted to be again with you. I have been absent some time, but I was not gone for always. Our work is very extensive and we are on the alert to establish more ameliorating conditions. Then rising to the full volume of his eloquence he exclaimed, friends, little do you mortals realize the misery and suffering, torment, that there is in spirit life coming up out of earth conditions. Little do you know into what depths of darkness and gloom vast numbers of earth's children are plunged on reaching this side of life and because of violated law. To so many thousands this is not that place of joy and sunshine, and sweet rest, or the peace of oblivion, not for those who violate law, not for those who turn away from nature. If instead of closing your senses to her enticing voice you would open your souls and look out on nature and contemplate her beauty, drink into overflowing of her grandeur, and allow your souls to be fed from her bountiful stores instead of the dry husks of the man-made institutions of earth, you would quit the tenement of earth to be borne away by loving messengers, on flowery steeds of ease, to homes in nature's loveliest gardens, but it is not so now, and I must hasten away to do my mother's, nature's, bidding in care for her suffering, wayward ones until they be turned on the road back to the old parental home, where loving, outstretched hands are waiting. Good night. And the spirit was gone away into invisible condition. 283. Sam now speaks, saying, Mr. Secretary, I brought him. Sec, yes, Sam, I see, and we all are glad of it. Sam, well, I got in anyway. At beginning of seance Sam left the management in the hands of Bessie saying he had an errand and now it appears that his errand was to hunt up the spirit, Paine, and have him here this evening. 284. Fritzy, at desire of someone of the circle was permitted just a moment of time. 285. And Red Feather, through his instrument, Mrs. Abba, said, if people could comprehend better, there would be much more given from higher spheres. 286. Abion took the trumpet and speaking more softly than at some other times, said good evening, friends. How do you all do this evening? You are happy? Well, I'm glad of that. Say, Mr. Secretary, they say that I had better modify me voice or some people will get scared out of their shoes. Good night. 287. Then when Redfeather took his Medi in cabinet to give Medi Man a drink of water, there was quite a wordy episode between Redfeather and Bessie about who should give the water to Medi Man, but finally Redfeather prevailed in giving the water, and the medium came out of a trance. Seance no. 15 August 17, 1902 288. Reading the minutes of last seance occupied so much time that the spirits gave but a short session at this sitting. After the medium was entranced Dr. Reed stood forth, and as president on the spirit side, passed approvingly upon the minutes as Reed, remarking that they were much pleased with accuracy and fullness of detail as noted in the minutes, and that they would not give so much matter at this time as at last seance. Immortality, 1-3, 289. The spirit Wesley commences the manuscript articles dictated to him by the Star Circle and made the general introduction to this book. I-59. It may be noted that the tablet used by Wesley was one fresh from the bookstore, and that the above-mentioned writing was the first written in that tablet. That when the spirit was done writing, He took the tablet over to the secretary, handed the tablet to the secretary saying, as he did so, "I have written 3 pages. That is all the management cared for me to write at this time. See if you find 3 pages there." Secretary: "Yes, Wesley, here are 3 pages of writing in the tablet." Spirit: "Very well. You please tear them out this time, and hand to me the tablet."